Here at Paddy Power, we're the home of the Money Back Special, with some incredible offers every single week. Check out the website or app today. Terms and conditions apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Hi there, you are warmly welcome to the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. It's Bruce Millington, James Hill, Graham Rodway and Paddy Power's Darren Hughes looking ahead to a classic weekend by Sunday night. We will know the identity of the 2000 and 1000 guineas winners. We've also got some TV action at Goodwood. All the Newmarket stuff is on the ITV main channel. Hopefully someone will have a clue who's going to win the 2019 Kentucky Derby, which takes place on Saturday night. And we will have all the rest of the best bets from around Britain and Ireland, plus, of course, the Naps. We'll start, though, with the ITV card. Four races at Newmarket on Saturday, culminating with the 2,000 guineas, and starting with the 150... Actually, no, let's start with the guineas. 355 Newmarket, 335 Newmarket, Kipco 2,000 guineas, 19 runners. I'm hoping we might get some extra places, Darren. Give us some news on that and the latest betting from Paddy Power.
Sure thing, Bruce. Yes, so the 2,000 guineas prices are as follows. We are paying five places on this, fifth of the odds. 10 Sovereigns for Aidan O'Brien is our 7-2 favourite. Magna Grecia is 4-1. Scardew is 6-1. Mad Moon for Kevin Prendergast is 7s. Advertise is 8s. Royal Marine is 9. Al-Halali is 12s and it is 16s bar.
James, normally if you thought you were getting five places in the guineas, you'd think you couldn't fail to get one in the frame, but it's a tricky old race this, isn't it?
Yeah, 19 runners, I think it's the biggest field for about 10 years or something.
And not too many can be completely ruled out, can they?
Oh, no, I think there are very few that can be ruled out. Obviously, the two Irish Aidan O'Brien horses have the best form in the race, and look, 10 Sovereigns could well turn out to be a bit special, but I think you can throw a blanket over all the British contenders. And I think, look, with all these extra places, I'm going to go for one of the outsiders, Shine So Bright, who I thought was the most impressive looking colt at the Craven meeting. I know lots of people fancy horses who were beaten in the Craven, but I thought this horse, who won the free handicap at Newmarket last month, was really impressive. And he'll like the ground. I'm hopeful that he'll get the trip because there's plenty of stamina on the dam side. And he just looks like a really nice horse. He handled the track really well in the free handicap. So I'm hoping that he can make the frame.
25-1 with five places. G-Rod, are you confident coming into Guineas weekend?
Yeah, fairly confident. Yeah, been having a good week. So let's hope it continues, eh?
Okay, who's going to win the Guineas then?
Well, when I look at this race, I always think, well, you know, you've got to weigh up the best form from this season, the best form from last season, because you're always getting the O'Brien runners coming in without a run. And are they going to be fully wound up to beat the horses that have already had one, if you know what I mean?
Well, Aidan's horses generally seem to be more forward this year, don't they?
They're flying, aren't they? But, Ryan's gone for 10 Sovereigns over Magna Grecia. I thought Magna Grecia had the better form as a two-year-old, although 10 Sovereigns obviously won at the track in the Middle Park. I think you've got to be looking to take them on. You know, it's a wide open race. The one I like is Great Scott.
I like that one.
Yeah.
He ran really well in the Greenham.
Tom Dascombe, yeah. I mean, he's had three winners from the last 12 runners. He's flying at the moment. And I thought the Greenham was the strongest of the trials. I didn't like the Craven at all. I couldn't have any of those that ran in there. I couldn't have Scardew at all.
Terribly short price car, didn't he? Have you got a view on that, James?
I wasn't that impressed by any horse, really.
How can he be so short in comparison to the horse he's only just beat and who was a little bit unlucky?
Yeah, and they all finished in a bit of a heat, didn't they, really? Yeah, the Greenham was a good time. And the winner of that, Mahartha, had also clocked a good time in the Horace Hill when he won at Newbury in his previous start. And he looked a real flying machine. I had him down as a potential Commonwealth Cup winner. But how that race has changed in the last week, with Mahartha now being out for the season and Calix coming out and absolutely hacking up at Ascot. But, I mean, there was no disgrace at all for Great Scott to be finished in second behind a horse with so much speed over seven furlongs, considering that Great Scott's far better form over a mile at two, and he was always going to find that distance on the short side, and he ran like it. He was hard under pressure three furlongs out, but he kept on strongly, pulled well clear at a third. As I say, I'm pretty sure the winner is a Group 1 horse in waiting, so over sprint trips. So if Great Scott's getting that close to him over seven, then I think you're going to be expecting all sorts of improvement when he goes up to mile. The only worry will be the ground, because all his best form is with a bit of cut. He has won on good to firm, but that was first time up, I think it was. So he might just have been better than the rest of them. There is a little bit of rain around, though. I think there's about 3 or 4 mils expected. That might just take the sting out of the ground. So I'm more than happy to take Great Scott around 20s.
OK, James has gone for Shine So Bright at 25s. G-Rod's gone for Great Scott at 20s. Are you going to go for a long shot as well, Darren, or focus on the head of the market?
I'm actually in G-Rod's camp here. Great Scott was the one I came down on at prices. He has very, very little to find, you know, for a 20-to-1 shot. You know what I mean? He has good collateral form there with Magna Grecia, with a number of them in this race. Agree completely with G-Rod. Again, the extra furlong is definitely going to suit. He looks like a staying miler as opposed to a speed horse. I was more than happy with his comeback at Newbury. If they go hard here, which they usually do in a Guineas, that would suit him perfectly. And for me, he shouldn't be a 20-to-1 shot. And, you know, when you're getting the 5 places here with us, he should be realistically able to hit the frame of the front 5 at the bare minimum.
Yeah, I like Great Scott. I also like Advertise out the ones at the head of the market. So I've had 2 goes, so I'm going to give each of you another pop at this. James, if you're having a supplementary bet to Shine So Bright, who would it be?
Probably Mad Moon.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I did think he was a good price about 10 days ago. Probably all the value's gone now, but I've long felt that he would be a pretty decent 3-year-old. I'm just a bit concerned about the trainer's record in Britain. I think since 1996, he's only had 3 winners or something on turf, which for a trainer of his stature, Kevin Prendergast, isn't that great. But Mad Moon's a horse I'd like. I'd still think he would be a good price if this was run somewhere like Leopardstown. You're just not sure how he'll handle the undulations at Newmarket.
G-Rod, who's your second dart going to be at?
Yeah, I mean, I thought apart from Great Scott, all the strength was really at the head of the market. You know, I thought the best two-year-olds are right at the head of the market, Magna Grecia and 10 Sovereigns. And also Advertise, obviously. But all the fancy price has gone about him, haven't they? Since Martin Mee came out and said, oh, he's a massive price. He should never be this price. What price he is. Everyone went, oh, if Martin Mee thinks that's right, then we'll all punt him. I mean, that's not to say... I don't know. We can say that about a few of them. Is 10 Sovereigns going to stay? We don't know, do we?
We'll find out. What do you rate then, Jordan, if you're having another go? You're just going to stick with Great Scott.
I'm happy with Great Scott. Right, yeah.
Aaron, you going to have another one?
Yeah, my other one would be same as James there, would be Mad Moon. Just on Kevin Prendergast's record there, like, I know, fair enough, he's only had the 3 winners, but he hasn't sent over Damn All Runners, and to me, it's a massive positive that he's sending Mad Moon over, because he's normally very patient with his horses. You know, he gives them time and he lets them mature more and go to the para. So the fact that he's confident enough to get this lad on the plane over to Newmarket, that for me says a lot. The faster the ground, the better. He needs it like a road. The harder they go, the better. Like, I can see him going on and running quite well over 10 and 12 furlongs later on in the year. And if I was to have a second dart at this, he'd be the one for me.
I have a theory that Kevin Prendergast is the first human ever to be called Kevin. He's well into his 80s, isn't he? I mean, he must be the oldest Kevin on the planet. Yeah, I refuse to believe that he's not. Yeah. Anyway, that won't help your back winners. 150 Newmarket, then the Spring Lodge Stakes. It's a handicap over 9 furlongs. Darren, take it away.
Sure thing, Bruce. Yeah, so Power of Darkness is our 7-2 favourite. Elector is 4-1. Almofri is 4-1. Gazeel is 6s. Vintager is 7-1. Exec Chief for Jim Boyle is 10s. First Sitting is 12s. Aquarium is 12s and it's 14s bar.
Who do you like, Graham?
Vintager. I bet this horse last time out and it didn't go a yard. Don't know what happened to it. It was absolutely smashed like it couldn't lose. It was went from 12-1 into 9-2 favourite at the course and Craven meeting. I think it was for a group race. And from an early stage, he just wasn't happy with it. I sort of came down on the conclusion that he didn't go on the ground, and it's sort of similar conditions here. But maybe it wasn't that.
Positivity then, because all you've done is say why it won't win.
Well, there's one piece of form that just, if it runs to this piece of form, it can't lose. You know, if it runs to this form where it beat Rip Off by 4.5 lengths last season, giving it £2, I mean, that is an absolutely different class run in the, you know, in the context of this race. That makes Vintager, for me, a proper group horse, if he can run to that form. And that was on good to firm ground at Newmarket on the July course. So, you know, yes, he's a master craftsman. Yes, he's got form on soft ground. But we know he can do it on good to firm ground at Newmarket.
So you're going to forgive him last time out and go for Vintager?
I just don't understand what happened last time out. But, I mean, it was so bad. Maybe something weren't right, you know. I don't know. But I've got to give him another chance, Vintager.
Darren?
There's two horses here that stand out like a sore thumb to me. The first one is Elector for Michael Stout, purely on the basis of his runs behind Auxerre and Wissahickon last year. He wasn't beaten far. six lengths by Wissahickon off pretty much levels, and off levels with Auxerre beating four and a quarter lengths. They are two standout pieces of form. Them two horses now are group class. My concerns with him would be that he needed his comeback last year, and mixed outs generally do need their comeback as well. So that would be a slight concern. And then the other one that stands out to me is Al Muffrey, which Sylvester D'Souza jacked up for William Haggis. He had two very interesting runs in particular last year. His debut, he wasn't beaten far by Knight the Behold, and he's turned into a proper horse. And then in a novice again, he wasn't beaten far by El Wazir, who's obviously a very good horse. A mark at 91 wouldn't look too excessive. Gets in here off 8 stone 5, and he has Sylvester D'Souza up. But again, I have a concern that the trip might be a small bit on the sharp side, but of the two, he'd be my selection.
God, 2 4-1 shots. That's bold. Do you want to put up Pair of Darkness as well? Blimey, O'Reilly. James, who do you like?
I'd side of Elector. Sir Michael Stout, he's had two winners of this in the last 10 years, both winning on their reappearance, as Elector is. And he had some pretty good form last season, ran very well when second at Nottingham to a good horse, and also ran at Royal Ascot, finished seventh or something in the King Edward. Ran with credit there. So he's got good form on fast ground. We know the trainer is a master at improving his horses as they get older, and providing the trip's not too sharp, I think he's going to go really well.
The 220 at Newmarket is the Zoustar Palace House Stakes, a Group 3 over 5 furlongs. Some familiar names in action here, and Aidan's got the jolly, hasn't he, Darren?
He has indeed, yeah, Bruce. And we are money back on this race if the favourite Sergei Prokofiev does win. So the betting is as follows. Sergei is 9-4. Mabs Cross is 5-1. El Astronauta is 6s. Judicial is 15-2. Equilateral is 8s. Major Jumbo is 8s. Tarbush is 10s. Queen of Desire is 10s. And it is 25s bar.
And Darren, who is your fancy?
This is my strongest bet of the weekend, Bruce. Sergei Prokofiev, I cannot see past him here. We're 9-4. This is the biggest trees out there.
Some return to action, wasn't it, this year?
Oh, phenomenal. His comeback, I was absolutely delighted with it at Navan. Like, that's not a track that would suit him. Like, it's a really stiff track. It's more of a National Hunt track than anything else. And I'd say Donnacha, if he had his time again, he wouldn't have sent him to the front quite as soon as he did. But I'd encourage anyone to go back and watch that race. He was, you know, a double handful the whole way, and then about 2.5 out, he said go, and it was like putting your foot down in a Ferrari. Not that I've ever driven a Ferrari, but I can only imagine that's what it's like. And he hit the front within about 5 strides. I have never seen a ball of speed like him. You have to imagine he's a strip fitter for that. Gets all the allowances that a 3-year-old should get. He has won at Newmarket before. And with El Astronauta in here ready to go off like a scalded cat, the race should be run to suit.
Okay, James, what's your view?
I'd have to agree with Darren. Sergei Prokofiev. I mean, he's probably going to go off quite a short price, but I think he's potentially in a different league from all of these. I mean, his win in the Cornwallis over course and distance last season was hugely impressive. That is some turn of foot he's got there. He'll love the ground. 3-year-olds, I mean, it's not easy for them at this time of year, but I just think we could be looking at a really good 3-year-old who could prove to be a real star this season, in fact. And I actually think we're now going to be seeing more of these Ballydoyle horses. I know, you know, over the last 10, 20 years, we've seen them being mile and a quarter, mile and a half colts by Galileo, you know, really proving the stars of the show. But I think with these scat daddies and these no-nay-never colts, he could prove to be, you know, a real star. And I think we'll be getting more of these types of horses coming through from Ballydoyle.
Graham, do you know what Sergei Prokofiev's greatest hit was? What? What's his sort of signature song?
I don't know. Who is he? Is he some sort of
composer?
Was he?
You've sung on the postcards.
You're not talking to two classical.
Are you in the choir, Jimmy? No,
you must know it, don't you?
The Apprentice, isn't
it? I do know that.
The Apprentice.
Well, it wasn't called The Apprentice.
Well, that's what I call it.
They use, yeah. Who's going to win, Graham?
This is a big old ask, isn't it? I mean, Jimmy sort of just touched on it, really. 3-year-olds against the older horses at this time of year. You know, I mean, he's going to have to be pretty good. I mean, don't get me wrong. He was wildly impressive when he won here last year. I was told he was absolute certainty when he ran at Churchill, and he bombed, and he was impressive first time out. So, yeah, I mean, on what we've seen, he's got a good chance. But, I mean, he's 5-2 favourite, and he's coming in against some real proper, battle-hardened, old, tough sprinters, you know, and I don't know. I just think it might be a big ask at this time of his career. I'm more than happy to take him on.
With?
Well, you must be loving old Mab's Cross. You stick with Mab's Cross. I remember that. Whenever I think of Mab's Cross, I always think about that horrible defeat. Yeah. When it looked for sure like one.
You've got to get over it, though. Keep the faith. Go with Mabs?
No. It's got a big task under a big weight. Tarbouche is the one that I'm gonna back for Paul Midgley. A big improver last season. Didn't stop and won a really competitive handicap at Doncaster towards the end of the season. And then first time up, he went off quite well fancied 5-2 chance at Musselburgh. But Paul Midgley came on before the race. He had several runners in that race and he didn't seem very confident about Tarbouche at all. In fact, he virtually told you that Tanasok was the one to be on out of his lot. Tanasok was then punted from 20s into 12s and Julie did the business. And I get the feeling that was a bit of a prep run for Tarbouche. Certainly Paul Midgley seemed to be suggesting that he might come on for the run. And that should have put him spot on for this run. And at this stage of his career, don't get me wrong, Sergei in time is probably going to end up being the better horse. But at this stage of their careers, Tarbouche might know a little bit too much for Sergei.
Okie dokes, the TV race before the Guineas is the 2.55. It's the Roaring Lion Jockey Club Stakes over a mile and a quarter. Seven runners, irksome for each way punters, but a competitive old heat. Darren, take it away with the show.
Sure thing, Bruce. Yeah, so Coronet for John and Frankie is 15-8 favourite. Defoe is 9-4. Young Rascal is 10-3. Red Verdon is 9s. Communique and Mildenberger, both for Mark Johnson, are 10-1. And Made Up rounds them out at 25-1.
It's quite tricky, James. There's a couple on the naughty step here, isn't there, after disappointing at Newbury. What do you make of it?
Plenty. I'm surprised that Johnston pair actually are as big as 10-1, considering not many of these are coming into this at the top of their game. In particular, Mildenberger. Mildenberger's got some real good form. He was second to Roaring Lion in the Dante. And at this course, I think he was second to Roaring Lion as well as a juvenile. He's also won at this course first time out last season. He himself is coming into this race after not a great run when he was seventh in the City in Suburban and Epsom. But I didn't think that run was without promise. I mean, he was staying on strongly at the finish.
With Johnson, you can't. If you can forgive anyone, it's him, isn't it?
Absolutely. If any horse has got a duck egg, if it's trained by Mark Johnson, you know he potentially can get them back pretty quick. So, I will side with him at the prices.
Mildenberger at 10-1 for James Hill. Who for Graham Rodway?
It's a three-horse race between the top three in the market for me. Coronet, Defoe and Young Rascal.
What do you make of Defoe and Young Rascal last time out? I mean, pretty disappointing and an odd sort of race, really, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's the word. It was an odd race. I don't know what happened there. You know, I thought that race was a two-horse race between those two, and never really got going, did they?
No.
But go for Young Rascal, a couple of worries. All his best forms at Newbury. This is obviously a massively different course, up and down, and whatever. We don't know how he's going to act on it. The one time he did have all those undulations was at Epsom. He was disappointing. And the other one is obviously the ground. I already mentioned all his best forms on slightly soft ground. Hopefully the rain comes for him. But for me, if he turns up in his best form, he is in different class to this lot. And he is open to more improvement than them as well. Like you said, I don't really know what happened first time out. But maybe we'll just put that down to being a weird race. Maybe he needed it. Who knows? But a young rascal for me.
Rightio. And who for you, Darren?
Just ask, does anyone else find it strange that the race named after Roaring Lion over a distance he never actually won over and only ever tried once? You'd imagine they'd go for a 10 furlong race or something to name after him. Anyway.
Possibly, yeah. That's a good angle.
I suppose maybe it's a group race, isn't it?
Yeah. I don't know. I've got enough to worry about trying to find out who wins, to be honest, Darren, without the origins of the sponsorship, but it's a very valid point. Who is going to win?
I'm surprised Coronet is as big as she is, to be honest with you. I'd have her a little bit shorter than the 15-8. There's two standout pieces of form last year where she gave £9 to see a class at York and then was only beaten a length by Magical on Champions Day at Ascot. For me, she's a standout filly here. You can't have Young Rascal on this sort of ground and away from Newbury. Defoe has disappointed once too many for my liking. I don't think Red Verdon is up to the class. Can see the angle into the Mark Johnson horses, but the fact he runs two, not that he's afraid to run them against each other, but you know, if he had a standout contender here, would he not only run the one? For me, Coronet, John Gosden's horses are absolutely flying. She won on her reappearance last year at York as well. So she obviously goes well fresh. And this is nearly one of the bankers of the weekend, as far as I'm concerned.
Strong case there from Darren. Right then, two really good ITV races at Goodwood. We'll do those next.
So does an each-way bet mean that my horse has to do part of the race in reverse?
Everyone loves a newbie. That's why Paddy Power Games are giving all new customers 60 free spins on daily jackpot games. New Paddy Power Games customers only. One per customer. T's and C's apply. 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org.
Right then, let's look at ITV's two races at Goodwood. Starting with the 205, it's the British Stallion Studs EBF Daisy Warwick Fillies Stakes over a mile and a half. We haven't got any betting, but hopefully we have got some winners. And we will start that quest for winners with Graham Rodway.
Horrible little race. In which Classique is the right favourite, you know, the best form in the race. But I'm not convinced I want to back. Is it her? Is it a fillies race?
Yeah. Yes, it is. Oh,
whenever you say horrible little race, you can almost guarantee it's going to be fillies. You know, it's just.
Is she sexist?
They are so hard to predict, some of these fillies and mares races, you know. And I mean, Classique's got an obvious chance, but not for me at 13-8. Mazzouri was the one I thought at a bigger price. It's just having second run for Amanda Perrett. Finished eighth in a handicap at Epsom, I think, last time, in which something else in this was sixth. Yeah, winging it. And they're like 10 and 14 to 1 between the two. And I just thought that might come on for that run, going up in trip, but did run a good race at Dundalk last year over mile and 3 furlongs. Well, they say mile and 2.5, but it's all but mile and 3 there. And stayed on really well towards the finish. I thought might improve for the step up in distance. Yeah, horrible little race.
But Missouri will win it.
Hopefully.
Darren?
Yeah, definitely. It's a poor race for the class. Could be some cheap black type on show here. Going to go with another one of John Gosden's here. It's not a massively confident selection in the shape of NB Har, one of the chic Hamdan horses. Only ran 3 times last year. Was beaten in a Chelmsford novice, but came out then and won at Kempton, beat Petrostar fairly impressively, and then went on to Ascot and ran the listed race behind Ghostwatch, an Austrian school, and that form has obviously been frank since. It's not a massively confident selection, but I just stick her forward. I think there's 11-4 round in places. We haven't got the prices up yet, but she'd be who I'd go for.
Come on, James, inject some positivity into this race preview.
Well, I can't really. I mean, I think you've got to go with Classique because I struggle to find where the dangers are coming from. I mean, she could be a bit vulnerable, particularly with this rain that we're forecast over the next 24 hours. But I mean, she was very impressive when she won at Newmarket last season. And then, of course, she was second in the Group 3 in France. So she's got a nice profile, trainers in form, William Haggis. So I will have to side with her.
Righty-ho, 240. Let's hope the boys are a little more confident here. It's the Goodwood May Food Festival Handicap, over 7 furlongs, and Stouty has the jolly, Darren.
He does surely, yeah. Caroon is our 3-1 favourite here. Love Dreams then is 4-1. Three Saints Bay for David O'Mara is 9-2. White Fountain Fairy is 7s. Goring is 9s. Moon Trouble is 12s. Mountain Grange is 12s, and it is 14s bar.
And we'll stick with you, Darren, for the first selection.
Yeah, I'm actually really sweet on one here, Bruce. I'm going to take a chance on Moon Trouble from Mick Appleby. The yard are in decent form. They've had a few winners over the last couple of weeks. This lad, he's only had 2 runs in Britain since arriving over from France. First run then, he ran behind George Bowen over 6 furlongs at Kempton. And he wasn't beaten too far. I think he's only beaten about 3 or 4 lengths. And laterally then, he went to Newbury and ran over 5 furlongs behind Stake Acclaim. But that day, the trip was just far too sharp for him at this stage. Like, this fella started out as a miler. He actually ran behind the Gurkha in the French Guineas only about 2 years ago. I think this step up and trip here, he should be sharper for that. There's a few of them here that are likely to need the run, or, you know, there's doubts about them. The form of his first run has worked out extremely well, with George Bowen finishing second to Cashy in the all-weather championships. And the second that day has run a stormer in a more competitive handicap again. I think 12-1 is more than fair. I'd be disappointed if he couldn't hit the frame.
Darren makes a very strong case for Moon Trouble. Do you agree, James?
No, I'm going to go with Love Dreams here. Comes with a warning, I must admit, because it was a non-runner last time after being unruly in the stalls. But if you go on his win at Goodwood back in August, he's got to have a great chance because he's £7 lower now. Actually, his record on undulating tracks is pretty good all round. And of course, we know how good Mark Johnson's horses go at Goodwood. Just 10 rivals, so that should work out well. His Achilles heel seems to be his record in big fields. So when you're getting like 16 to 20 plus runners, he doesn't fare well at all. But these smaller fields, he seems to be much happier to dominate in front.
Okie doke. And James, G-Rod, sorry, what have you got for us?
Yeah, absolute certainty this is.
Oh, wow. What is it?
Love Dreams.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. This has got a massive chance. I mean, this was so impressive when winning at the track last year of Course and Distance in a very similar race to this. And it was running off a £7 iron mark that day. It's absolutely thrown in, this horse. It's got a good draw in stall six and bounced right back to form last time out at Kempton, finishing second and made eye-catching late progress. If this horse is anywhere near the form that it showed last season at Goodwood, it must win the race. And, what was I going to say? I just remembered.
Go on.
I was going to say the grounds are worried because that's kind of like my theme for the day, but it don't matter. The horse has won good to firm and soft. So, I don't see any chinks in this one's armour. Love Dreams. I'm all over it.
Fantastic. Those are the six ITV races on Saturday. Let's see what the boys have got. Apart from that, obviously, we've got the rest of the Newmarket and Goodwood cards. We've got the Punchestown Festival. We've got Thurskew, Toxteter, Doncaster and Hexham. Loads going on. Don't give your naps away, lads. But who do you fancy, James Hill?
Cut the Mustard in the 5:35 at Punchestown. She's stepping up to 2.5 miles for the first time this season. I've been waiting for this. She ran over 2.5 last season at Punchestown and was very impressive. It must admit it was softer ground than this. But she put up a very good time, and here she's been running well all season, very consistent. We know what a good record the trainer has at this meeting, and she's on a handy mark with £5 being taken off her back.
Okay, G-Rod, what have you got for us?
Yeah, I've got a few coming up on the tracker this week. As you know, last time we had a right clear out of the tracker, and it's because I had a clear out, I've been able to top
it
up.
Oh, no, I didn't know that. That might have been Maddie in the chair that time.
Yeah, no.
I'm unaware. You've been through it, have you?
Been through it, completely got rid of most of them, and now I've got a new 100. So I've got
100 horses?
105 at the last count.
What's it thrown up?
In this race that's not on TV at Newmarket, the 410. No, yeah, 410. Intuitive for James Tate. This one was very impressive when winning at Kempton last time in a good time. And the runner-up, Marawed, came out and won a decent handicap at Doncaster. And Intuitive has got a Coral Cup entry. That'd be good, wouldn't it? No, it's got a Commonwealth Cup entry. Yeah, so we're going to be going to Royal Ascot after this. That's okay. Intuitive. And there's a horse that ties in with that horse because it finished sixth in the same race. It's called,
bear with us folks,
Something About Jack.
And
it's running.
It's running, that's handy.
Donny.
Right.
Yeah, 7:20.
Okay.
I think. Yeah, 7:20, number 8, Something About Jack. Finished sixth behind Intuitive and Marawed last time out. As I just said, that's a fantastic performance. But not just that, it made really good eye-catching late headway. Eve Johnson-Houghton, she had a cracking season last season. I think you're going to see a massive improvement from Something About Jack. 7:20 at Donny.
Rightio, that's it.
There is another one, but I can't remember it.
Okay, if you do remember it, make a noise like an owl after Darren's done his round, and we'll come back to you. Darren, what have you got for us?
Just to touch on the two lad selections there. So on the 410 at Newmarket tomorrow, we're paying 4 places. And for James then, we Cut the Mustard, we're paying 6 places.
Oh, lovely. Excellent.
So good news for the two lads.
Indeed.
I have four for tomorrow. I'm just going to run through them really quickly. We won't give too much detail. 3:45 in Goodwood, the Conqueror Stakes, the listed race. Tiger Eye for James Fanshaw and George Wood. It's a Frankel filly. She's improved run this year. She made her debut last December in Wolves. Was narrowly beaten by a good horse in Creek Harbour, then won 3 on the hop, 2 novices on a handicap. Ran an listed race at Kempton there 2 weeks ago. Only came 5th, but I'd say if Oisin Murphy had his time again, he'd want another go at that. He had her out the back, it wasn't run that hard. And if they go a little bit harder here in a more conventional track, that should suit her. She's definitely one to keep an eye on. She's off mark at 94. I'd expect her to be rated a fair bit higher than that come the end of the year. Then the two grade ones at Punchestown tomorrow. The 4-year-old hurdle, I like Fusil Raffles here. I think the Irish 4-year-olds are no good. And in the Mare's hurdle then, Benny DeJew is going to be a hot favourite. I'd say 3s on or even a little bit shorter. But if you can get Stormy Ireland even money or thereabouts, bet without, that'll be a good bet. And my last one then is in the 4:45 at Newmarket, the Lightning Spear listed race. horse called UAE Jewel for Roger Varian and David Egan. This lad looks a proper animal. He dotted up in his debut in the Wood Ditton, won it by 5 lengths pretty much on the bridle. And the farm has been franked with the fourth going in since. He was beaten 11 lengths that day, and he's since won on the bridle pretty much at Pontefract. It wasn't a great race, but it's nice to see the farm franked. Vibes were extremely strong beforehand, and this fella has a dainty entry for a couple of weeks. So I'd say this is a perfect opportunity to get some badly needed experience into him. Persian does set a good standard, but Persian Moon rather. But I'd expect this lad to run a massive, massive race.
Okay then, let's get the naps.
This will not be beaten.
Now the lads have sounded very confident, so I'm hopeful that these are going to be three really good ones. James, kick us off.
It is Intuitive and the 410 at Newmarket. That's a Commonwealth Cup entry, not the Coral Cup entry.
Graham Rodway.
Impressive, both his last two starts at Kempton on the Poly track. The form of both those races has worked out really well. Trained by James Tate, good young trainer who's in form. And first handicap start on turf. I'm interested to see how he goes.
Were you gutted when your thunder got stolen by G?
I was a bit, yeah.
That one,
yeah,
out of the hat.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That's good. Excellent. It's always good. Great minds thinking alike there. So Intuitive in the 410 at Newmarket is James Hill's nap. Graham Rodway's nap is
Love Dreams 240 at Goodwood.
And Darren Hughes.
Sergei Prokofiev, the 220 at Newmarket.
There you go. Have a Trixie. Or do what you like with them, but the boys are very confident. So good luck, lads. Let's do Sunday next.
Check out Paddy's Rewards Club. Simply place 5 bets of £10 or more across any sport in a week, and you'll get a free £10 bet then next week. T&Cs apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back to the Racing Postcast. It's Bruce Millington, James Hill, Graham Rodway and Paddy Powers, Darren Hughes, and it's one of the best Sunday cards of the year. 1,000 guineas day at Newmarket. 4 races on the ITV main channel. And we will start with the big one, the Fillies Classic, over a mile. It's the Kipco 1,000 guineas at 3:35. And Darren, whiz us through the betting, if you would.
Well, indeed, Bruce, no bother yet. So Cabala is our 11-4 favourite. Skitter Scatter is 6-1. Iridescent for Joseph and Dunica is 13-2. Just Wonderful is 13-2. Fairyland is 7s. Mott Deuced is 8s. Dandu is 10s. Lady Kaya is 14s. And it is 20s bar.
James Hill, lead on.
I fancy the Irish runners to beat the British here. I'm surprised Cabala's favourite, really. I know she was impressive in the Nell Gwynn, but I'm not sure how good a form that is. I'm going to go, I think the Phillies mile form is a form to side with. The first three finished a long way clear that day. Iridessa, going to be ridden by Joseph's brother Donica here. I thought she was impressive that day. I know it's a standout form. She hasn't really repeated it since, but she did handle the track and the ground really well that day, and she's going to have her conditions again. So I've got to go with her, and I'm also going to have a few quid on Hermosa, the runner-up that day. Because Aidan O'Brien's Galileo fillies have a terrific record in the 1,000 guineas. They regularly make the frame, and Hermosa looks a very similar type to what he's had before. So those two for me.
Graham?
Yeah, similar to Jimmy. I like Iridessa. I thought it won nicely, course and distance last season. Very similar race, you know, good to firm ground. I like horses that, you know they can run to that level under those conditions, on that track, you know. Yeah, beaten first time up, but probably needed a run. So I'm going to back Iridessa. And I'm also going to have a few quid on Star Terms each way. Obviously, Hannon won it last year with Bilsden Brook at 66-1. And this one's got a similar sort of profile, some sort of solid efforts without being anything outstanding. But does come in after a decent run in the Fred Darling in fourth. That was a particularly competitive renewal of the Fred Darling. There were 15 in it, so you know that was actually a decent outing. And I'm expecting Star Terms to come on for the run. So
your colleague Pietro Innocenzi also put.
Does he really?
Yeah.
Well, that's always a good sign. You know, Pietro is a good judge. So Iridessa to win and Star Terms each way.
And how about you, Darren?
For me, this is very straightforward. I cannot believe that Skitter Scatter is a 6-1 shot here. I honestly cannot believe it. If Aidan O'Brien trained this filly, she'd be 15-8, 2-1. She has done everything. Everything. She progressed run for run last year. She won a Group 3, a Group 2, a Group 1. On collateral form lines, she has the measure of pretty much everything here, bar the English horses, obviously. She's beaten Lady Kaya, who's beaten Iridessa. She's beaten Just Wonderful. She's beaten Hermosa, and she's beaten them with relative ease. She's won over the 7 at the Curragh, which would give you massive, massive confidence for the 8 for the mile at Newmarket. I've no issues with her training on. She's a scat daddy. She's in the right hands. John Ox knows how to train a classic winner. And he has Pat Prendergast there, who knows the horse inside out. She's been disrespected at every race she's ever run, and she's never gone off shorter than 7-2. For me, I cannot believe she's the price she is. For me, she should be out and out favourite. She has by far the best form in this, well, I won't say by far, but she definitely has the best form in this field, and she has the scope to improve past that again. 6-1 is an absolute steal. Fill your boots. Cannot see her out of the front three. There may well be extra places available tomorrow. I expect her to win the race, but for me, 6-1 is actually disrespectful.
Get in there. Good case, Darren. It'd be lovely to see John Ox win. He's such a gentleman. A great, great guy. It would be lovely to see him come back. Guys, quick word on Fairyland. I fell in love with her last year, but I'm intrigued by the fact that they're running her. I guess they're saying it's a free shot. If she gets a mile, she gets a mile. But if you kind of, you know, there'll be everyone saying, well, she can't possibly stay. What do you think, James? If she does, is it worth me just having a little tenner on just in case?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's an open race, isn't it? And Cheveley Park horse fillies have won this race before, so we know she'll like the course and the ground. So yeah, no, she's got a chance. I just prefer the form of the fillies mile. I just thought that was a stronger run race.
Okie doke. Right then, let's do the Dahlia Stakes. Fillies and mares over 9 furlongs. Takes place at 2:20. Darren, how do Paddy Power bet?
Yeah, so Voracious is our favourite. We are money back all losers if Voracious does win the race, though. She's our 11-8 favourite. Bills and Brook, last year's 1,000 guineas winner, is 5-2. Nialetti is 11-4. Worth Waiting is 13-2. Rassima for Roger Varian is 14s. And Shenanigans rounds them out at 25-1.
Graham, who do you like?
Well, if Bills and Brook runs to anywhere near a form from the guineas, then she wins. And we know she's back at Newmarket. So I'm more than happy to back Bills and Brook against Voracious. Voracious, obviously, Sir Michael Stout. Has got all of the sort of potential improver, you know, you sit there and go, oh, this horse is, you know, typical stout horse, you know, you've seen it a million times, gets trotted out every year. And she is just that, but she does need to.
Those horses, are they? You know, I mean, so I wouldn't say they're never valued, but you never think, do you know what, I might be nicking a point over here.
Well, exactly. The point is that she has to improve to beat Bills and Brook. You know, she needs to improve, but yet she's not priced accordingly as though she needs to improve. You know, she's priced as though she has got the best form in the race. She hasn't. You know, Bills and Brook is that filly. So I'm more than happy to back Bills and Brook at the prices. It'd be different if the prices were the other way around, of course.
The prices dictate that G-Rod backs the reigning 1,000 guineas winner. Who do you think you fancy, Darren?
Yeah, this is really tricky in spite of the small field. Like, they all have negatives one way or another, but the one I ultimately came down on was actually Voracious. Now, I was hoping for a bigger price than 11-8. Definitely take G-Rod's point on board that she actually has it all to do, but Bills and Brook for me is just the windiest guineas winner in a long, long time. Like, there's enough negatives there to take her on. She badly needed her comeback last year, so I don't see why it wouldn't be any different this year. You know, Voracious, Michael Stout's horses are in good order. She finished ahead of Bills and Brook twice last year in the Coronation Stakes and in the Nassau. She runs very well fresh. For me, the others in the field, and I'd nearly forget about them. Like, they either need further or they have a bit to find. Like, that Nialetti is highly inconsistent for Mark Johnson, and she's third fav. For me, it's a match race here. Narrowly come down on the side of Voracious, even though I was probably hoping near 2-1 than the 11-8 available. I just see her beating Bills and Brook again. She's already done it twice.
James, who are you going to come down on the side of?
I think the market's got it right, actually. I think Voracious would be a pretty typical winner of this race, you have to say. I mean, Connections have done very well with these types of fillies in this race in the past, in particular the trainer, it's Michael Stout. Though ground won't be a problem for her. I mean, she proved quite on a few occasions last term that she handles quickish ground. And every sign that she's going to improve from 3-4, whereas you can't really say that about Bills and Brook.
Okay, we've got two more ITV live races. The rest of the Newmarket card, and they're also racing at Hamilton and Gorham Park. G-Rod, what else do you like?
150. There's a stout horse in there that is first time up that might improve, that is the right price. Melting Dew. Useful form last season. Beat Alfaris at Sandown. That one went on to win nicely at Goodwood. Like I just said, I just trotted it out, you know, it's got that sort of stout, you know, sure to improve. But this time, the price is right, you know, so I'm happy to take a chance on Milton Dew in the 150. There's a horse running. Jimmy should take over, and I'll try and find the other one. Oh, there it is, sorry. I got it now. firefighting in the same race.
Have these things called pens, and you can write down before you come in and do these things.
Firefighting's running in the same race. That's a massive price on its best form. It's got good form at the track, albeit I think it's one at the July.
What?
You know, the other course, but
yeah,
it's the same, isn't it? What's the I can't find the other one. I honestly cannot find the other one. I'll get there.
I'm not sure you will, but we'll give you a chance.
We'll
in the meantime, James, I think if you can spend about 20 minutes telling us who you fancy.
Or maybe it's not running. I don't think it's running.
James.
Yeah, I like Victory Angel in Newmarket's 255. Going to be having his first run for Robert Cowell, who is a real master trainer at improving sprinters as they get older. He's got a good record fresh. He's racing off a mark £6 lower than when fourth in this race last year, so I think he's got lots going for him, unless there's a B improver in the field. Victory Angel for me. And in the opening race at Newmarket, the 150, tough race to call, but I'm going to stick with Baghdad. He'll light the ground on the trip. Real tough sort, always gives his running and seems to be progressing still. So Baghdad in the opener.
You kept your composure there because while you were talking, you could see G-Rod frantically bashing away. His horse,
I was trying to think, what else can I say about this horse while he's still looking?
It's not running. You see, I did all this research when there was no declarations or whatever it was, and they've obviously decided that it's not going to run. But I do remember its name, Soldier's Minute.
Right, well, maybe that'll crop up and be useful at some point. Darren, what else do you like?
I actually had one for the first race as well that's not declared, so I feel G-Rod's pain. I had a massive, massive essay ready to go, a group horse and a handicap type thing, but the horse is not running, so we leave it be.
Okay.
In the long holes, then, this is a really, really tricky race.
This is the 255, folks.
Sorry, yes, 255 right. In Newmarket. The long holes over 6 furlongs. Gifted Master, obviously, the class edge here, and the mad thing is, I was only looking at this, he won the Stewards' Cup off 111 last year. And in between that and tomorrow, or Sunday rather, he's actually £2 below that again. He's managed to come back down to handicap 7. Like, I don't know how the handicapper saw fit to drop in the space of 4 races that quickly. It wouldn't happen in Ireland, but such is life. He is doiler up, but I don't know. Like, he's going to have bigger targets down through the summer. I don't know, does he want to spoil a mark of 109 this minute? And the one I came down on was Hadaf. For Robert Cowell, he was with James Tate last year, and Tim Morley has bought him. He was 6 lengths off Gifted Master, getting £9 last year in the Stewards Cup, and on Sunday he's getting £19, and he has the services of Jason Watson. Robert Cowell is a genius with these sprinters; he can turn them inside out. His reappearance run wasn't brilliant, and his latest effort over an inadequate 5 furlongs at this track, ironically enough, was much more promising. He was only beaten about 3 lengths. And I'd say the step up back to 6 was suiting better. He's only had 4 goes at 6 furlongs. I'd say that'll prove to be his optimum trip in time. There's a bit of 20-1 out there, and I'd take a flyer on him at a price.
I'll tell you what, considering what a bad judge of horses I am, my tracker actually throws up quite a few winners. And there is a tracker horse in this. It's called Summergand, trained by David O'Mara. I think he's around about 7-1, so I should be backing him. Okay, chaps, good stuff. Are you going racing, James, this weekend?
No.
What are you going to do?
I'm working tomorrow, and Sunday's a free day. I haven't decided yet. I've got lots of stuff to get on with, so, just...
Personal admin,
yeah.
Oh, blimey. G-Rod, what's the weekend hold for you?
I'm going to be at West Ham on Saturday for the season finale at the London Stadium, so Southampton's a bit of a dead rubber, to be honest. I was half tempted to sod it off and just go to Newmarket. But no, I think I'll go. I've got tickets.
When you get a season ticket, you feel like you've got to go.
Yeah, you think, it's the last game, might as well go down there.
Have you renewed for next year?
I haven't yet, but I probably will. They played some good football at times this year, West Ham, and they've got some really good players there as well. A decent coach. So, and then Sunday, I'd love to go Newmarket. It's one of my favourite days to go racing. If you've got a family, take them down to Newmarket Sunday and go in the family enclosure. They have loads of stuff there for kids, and it's always a good day. But sadly, I'm working, so I won't be down there. But I will be doing live tipster on Sunday.
Okay.
So race day live at racingpost.com. If you've got any questions.
Excellent. Now, I've got a question for you, Drew, because I'm doing something for the first time tomorrow morning. I'm doing a park run, and I'm told you're a bit of a park run master, aren't you?
I've done a few, yeah. I mean, as you can see, probably, I haven't done one for about half a year or whatever, but I am making my football comeback tonight with a Racing Post football team.
Oh, yeah, we've got a new Friday night football club.
New Friday night football, so I'm expecting, to be in badly in need of that out.
So what would you do, what would you do a faster, slower line for me on my park run debut, looking at me? I'm 52 years old.
52, and I'd say you've got to be looking at about 35 to, 38 minutes, do you reckon?
Well,
I don't know how much running you've done.
I'd sell, but I don't know.
You'd sell.
I'm entering into the unknown. We'll see.
Well, it's great fun. You know, it's great fun. You'll have great fun down there. Okay. 9 o'clock, is it?
Mm.
Yeah.
It is. Right then, Darren, what's the weekend hold for you? Grafting away, or are you going to do anything nice?
Heading to Punchestown tomorrow with a few of my pals here from work, and we're going to head out afterwards in Dublin. So that's my weekend pretty much wrapped up. It's a bank holiday here as well, so one day off work.
Fantastic. Sadly, we've got typical bank holiday weather, but never mind. The racing is high class. Hopefully, the boys have been able to point you towards some winners. Do join Maddie and the gang on Monday to look back on a fantastic Punchestown Festival, all the action at Newmarket, and looking ahead to a great week of racing at Chester next week. We've also got golf on Wednesday and football on Thursday, and if you can't join us for any of those, we are back next Friday.
Paddy Power Games has over 250 of your favourites to play online, and we're going to attempt to name them all in this 10-second ad before the T's and C's kick in. There's Blackjack, 18+, bgambleaware.org.